You're listening to The Pulse
on University Radio Nottingham.
So, Nottinghamshire bus route saved as council picks up bill. 11 bus services deemed no longer profitable by operators have been saved by the council. Nottinghamshire County Council will now pay for the routes that face being withdrawn or reduced. The bus routes being protected are Stagecoach 6 and 7, Marshalls 90, Trent Barton 90, Stagecoach 14/15, Nottingham City Transport 46/47, Stagecoach 1, Trent Barton Rushcliffe Villager, which is a great name for a bus route, Marshalls 37. Neil Clark, Cabinet Member for Transport and Environment, said, "We hope residents in these areas will travel on these services more regularly in the future. The last few years have taken their toll on bus service nationally, including here in Nottingham." And he goes on to sort of mention that passenger numbers are down. But it's probably quite a welcome departure from sort of the continual stripping of sort of local public transport services. And like, how do people feel about, because it is in sort of contrast with the majority of the, I mean, you can go back as far as you want to, like the 1980s, with just a gradual stripping down of public transport to the point of just minimum service. Is this a good move, or when bus services get to the point where there's not enough people to justify running them, do we at that point get rid of them?
Are they not a vital part of our infrastructure at this point? I mean, whether you drive or not, you have to, you know, petrol prices are rising and the cost of living is rising. So if you go, well, I need to get to work somehow, and if I'm too far away for a train, I'm going to get a bus, you know. So, or if a train is not necessary, I'll get the bus. And as you strip down hours, it means people will be commuting longer. Oh, I need to get up at 7 because if I don't get the 8:30, I won't be in work, that sort of thing. It's just, you know, it seems, without being too much on the nose, it seems like a wave that somehow some Tory somewhere is making a lot of money out of this.
I just think whenever kind of in the news people say, yeah, nobody's using them, how are we like assessing whether absolutely nobody's using them? Because is it a case of like someone's getting on the bus every single day and making the judgment that, yeah, nobody's getting on these buses, let's stop them running? Because the likelihood of that is very, very low. That's not how they're collecting this kind of data. So obviously there is going to be a lot of people, like you're saying, Gareth, that are reliant on these buses. And what is the alternative? And like, they're paying customers, they're using this transport to get around, and kind of like, people are entitled to that right to, you know, get to and from work, or just like simply go and see the family. And as soon as you take that away, it's like, so we're now relying on trains, but trains don't go to every single place ever. So what is the alternative?
I think another point to make is that the people that use buses are often like the elderly or the disabled who can't drive, and in some cases, I guess, students. And so I think taking away the transport that is kind of essential to their daily lives is not a great thing. I know, like, for where I live, it's in like rural Leicestershire, and we have one bus that comes to the village every like 6 hours or something. And like, all the old people need that to go shopping, and they like tried to get rid of it a few years ago, and there was like complete outcry about that. And it just shows you that, like, I think in some cases the buses are essential.
No, I completely agree. I remember, I think especially in rural counties where you've got limited transportation routes, these bus routes are especially essential. I remember my mum was telling me when she used to go to school, there was one bus that, so she'd walk to the bus stop, which was about 20 minutes away, and she'd get the one bus that went in the morning to her school, and then in the evening there'd be one bus that would take her back, and that was the entire bus schedule for the day. And that was, you know, decades ago. So I feel like when you're looking at these bus routes, you have to bear in mind that not everyone is going to have access to a car, and not everyone is going to be in a really, you know, urban area or where they've got lots of different transportation routes, like we luckily have in Nottingham. In the city, we've got, you know, we've got the trams, we've got the buses, people drive around as well, there's cycle routes, there's lots of different options. But for lots of people around the UK, they don't have those options, and so they're reliant on the bus to get them to work, to get them to school, to get them around their local area.
Yeah, definitely. And if we're being honest, this decision would have been made by, well, the initial decision to shut it down would have been someone in an office somewhere looking at a spreadsheet going, well, that's, you know, 16 points down on the last 5 years or whatever. Mm. And that would have been the decision that's been made. I don't know about anyone else. I always sort of, where I grew up, I was lucky that it was had a train station that was well linked to from where I lived in sort of the West Midlands and sort of Black Country area to Birmingham. And it was quite easy for us to sort of get to places from where we live. But I always had a perception, and it's something that I think is probably confirmed from getting the bus to other places, that a lot of the time, and a lot of bus and sort of other public transport, it can be quite unreliable. And you wonder whether that's a sort of a another step down from the sort of gradual plan to make these services as unreliable as possible, and then eventually go, oh, well, they're not fit for service, so we've got to get rid of them. I mean, talking about what having one service a day to, I mean, it, for a lot of people in rural places, these are the sort of lifelines of being able to leave their community, because like you said, elderly, disabled might not be able to drive. So it's just the gradual, it's good that, I mean, I don't know which, I mean, I guess it's the Nottinghamshire Council, I don't know which specific area of the council it is, or whether it's just the wider council, but it's good that they've footed the bill and said that even though it might not be commercially profitable to run them, they're still going to be important to that gran, yeah, or to that person who physically can't drive. And it's really important, I think, to link, and we talk about devolution and we talk about levelling up, this big sort of buzzword since the last general election, but levelling up is linking people in rural communities who can't get to cities easily. It's stuff like this, and it's important. It's good that the council have picked it up.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said it's, you know, someone got a spreadsheet and they, what they've done is think, and I think it's a symptomatic of how things are being run now, is people are reduced to a number and you're reduced to a statistic. Is this bus route making money? No, then remove the bus route, because we want to make profit. Profit is king, you know. But what's we don't see is that actually that is a grandmother able to get to see her grandchildren. That is a person with mobility issues who only gets to go, like, has an hour to get to the shops. You know, it is people who have to live in areas where, because they can't afford rent in the city. You know, like, it is people who are affected, and there are people on these buses, and all this does is harm them. I think it's great that it's being picked up. It's interesting. I think it, sorry to go a bit national, it leads on to the fact that they're thinking of scrapping the return ticket for trains. You know, like this, the whole idea of the idea of levelling up your country is travel, connect, you know, can I commute to wherever I need to commute to? Can I see people across the country? Yes. But they're going to scrap return tickets. And so that's like, well, that prices out an already ludicrously expensive form of transport. And then you go, well, okay, well, just, and if then you start looking at going, hi, we're removing your national transport and we're taking away your local transport, so please sit in your house.
It's funny when you say that as well, because I'm going to Saturday, I've still not bought my ticket for it, but going to Leeds for a mate's birthday.
Okay.
And I looked at getting the train, and it was actually relatively cheap compared to how much I thought it was going to be. Mm. And it's one of those weird things where you look at like specific services and one's like £30 more cheaper than the other, for no reason. But I'm now planning, instead, I'm a phone to my mum, I was like, well, if I get the coach, I can borrow some of your Tesco club card vouchers and then it's cheaper. And that shouldn't be the way public transport's run. No. It should be that we have, I mean, it really is, I guess, about it, like you say, about a wide national issue. And we really, it should be split into a thing of, these kind of services shouldn't be run for profit. In the reality, they should be run for the point of being a public service. Yep. We don't talk about sort of the NHS as being run for profit. We don't talk about, oh, how can we sort of, you know, I mean, the Conservatives would quite like us to.
Yeah, give it time.
But I think it would be good for the country as a whole for public transport to be seen as something that people deserve to have access to and have cheap access
to. I had to have an emergency and go and see my mother in Plymouth last year. And I was like, right, I need to get down within 24 hours. I'll get the train. It's the quickest way for me to do it. And it was £210. And then, or if I wanted to, I could go through London and it was 180. But it means going through
London. And I, yeah, it, like, and it, which is two tube changes, and it's just like, and then even then, it's two, change or two changes to get down to the south. And it's like, how are we so backwards? But then you've got private train companies all across the country that don't talk to each other because they're about profit.
Yeah.
And if it was a national, if it was a nationalised rail service, then it is for the people of England. It is for us, you know.
Yeah.
I think the irony of that is, like, if you look at some of these private companies who are running our rail network, they're actually part of national companies that are run by other countries. So there are. So one of the things is they're the French public rail service, which I'm forgetting the name of, they actually run part of our rail network privately, which just seems ridiculous, the fact that, like, you know, another government's public entity is running a British, you know, public service.
Because we sold it to them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it just seems ridiculous. Like, obviously, they're not going to be focusing on the interests of the British, you know, railway passenger, are they? You know, they're probably going to be focused on profit. But that is the reality of public services in the country at the moment.
Yeah, like trains run for profit, and if there is the capitalist notion that, you know, I want to grab something that is national and then find a way to make money off of it. It is the worrying trend, and that we have to be aware. This is what they're going to do to the NHS. This is what they're going to do to anything that we had enshrined as our rights, the NHS, public transport, being able to go and see your family, hopping to the seaside without having to cost an arm and a leg. That's gone now because someone somewhere wants to make money. You know, record profits. More, and all that happens is when you make record profits, you'll find more ways to make record profits. And we suffer because someone's greedy.
We're on campus and we're online.
We're online.
University.
Radio.
Nottingham.